Canto 9, Chapter 11. Lord Ramachandra rules the world. Sri Shuka said, "The Supreme Lord Ramachandra, the heart and soul of all the demigods, accepted an acharya and performed sacrifices with the greatest opulence. Thus, he factually was worshipping himself by himself. The Ota priest, the one offering oblations, he gave the entire east. The Brahma priest, supervising the proceedings, received the southern side from his lordship. The Advaryu priest, who chants the Yajur mantras preparing the sacrifice, got the entire west, and the northern side went to the Udgata priest singing the Samaveda hymns." Departing from the notion that the Brahmins who are free from material desires deserve the complete of the earth, he gave the teacher of example, the Acharya, the rest of whatever land there was in between the regions. What this way remained for himself were his personal ornaments and garments, while for the queen, the daughter of the king of Videha, only her nose ring remained. But when the Brahmins saw how much he cared for them as their lord, their hearts melted so that they, most pleased with him, honored him with prayers. They returned everything they had received from him and said, "What did you not give us, O Supreme Lord, O Master of the Universe? With you entering the core of our hearts, you dissipate with your effulgence the darkness of our ignorance. Our obeisances unto you, O Ramachandra, O Lord of the Transcendentalists, O best of all persons of fame, whose lotus feet are worshipped by those who are free from violence, O you whose intelligence is never clouded by anxiety." Curious about the public opinion, Rama one night walked unnoticed in disguise and heard someone speak who was referring to his wife, Sita. "I cannot maintain you any longer, because you are an impure, unchaste woman going to another man's house, and I will not, like someone henpecked, accept you again as Rama did with Sita." Apprehensive of folk who say anything that comes to mind, who do not know where to stop and have a poor fund of knowledge, she, Sita, was abandoned by her husband. Thereupon she went to the hermitage of Prachetasa, Valmiki Muni. She, being pregnant, when she left Rama, delivered there after some time a twin, two boys who, from the sage who performed the birth rituals, received the names Kusha and Lava, from the grass and what is cut off. Also Lakshmana had two sons, Angada and Chitraketu. Bharata, a great ruler, had two sons who were named Taksha and Pushkala. Subahu and Shrutasena were fathered by Shatrughna. Bharata, who brought all directions under his control, in his conquest had to kill millions of Gandharvas and offered all their riches to the king, Rama. The Rakshasa, listening to the name of Lavana, a son of Madhu, was killed by Shatrughna in the great forest of Madhuvana, where he established the great town known as Mathura. Sita, who, being sent away by her husband, kept meditating on Rama's feet, entrusted her sons to the sage and entered the earth. When Rama, the Supreme Lord, heard about this, he, remembering her qualities in the different circumstances, could not check his grief, however much he tried to ban it in meditation. Such an attraction between husband and wife constitutes a universal source of anxiety. When this is even true for the great controllers, then what about the common man who is fixed on a household existence? After she went to heaven, the Lord observed strict celibacy and performed a ceremony, an Agnihotra fire sacrifice, that was continued for 13,000 years without interruption. Rama, concluding his earthly stay, placed his lotus feet, which were pierced by the thorns of the Dandakaranya forest, the forest of his exile, in the hearts of those who remembered him, and then entered the beyond of the light of the soul of the Atma Jyoti, his heavenly abode, Vaikuntha. The lord of the Raghu dynasty, Rama, who assumed a spiritual body for the purpose of his pastimes, had, with no one being greater or equal to him, personally, no need for all this honor of the prayers of the godly souls, the killing of the Rakshasas, building a bridge over the ocean, and his bow and arrows, nor was he in need of the monkeys to assist him in defeating the enemy. Let me surrender myself to him, that master of the Raghu dynasty, whose spotless fame, to the present day, as good as the cloth that covers the elephant of victory, is celebrated in royal assemblies and by the sages in all directions, to him whose lotus feet, which vanquish all sin, are worshipped by the helmets of earthly kings and the gods of heaven. He to whom the people of Kosala were looking up and who they wanted to touch was by them all, whether they ate and slept with him or respected him as a servant, followed to the place for which he left and where all Bhakti Yoga practitioners go. Anyone who hears about the activities of Lord Rama and is filled with compassion towards others, O King, will be liberated from the clutches of karma. The King asked, how did he, the Supreme Lord Rama, relate to his brothers who were his personal expansions, and how did they, and also his people, his subjects, behave towards him, their controller? The son of Vyasadeva said, after accepting the throne, he, the Lord of the universe, ordered his younger brothers to conquer the world, while he himself gave audience to his people, looking after the capital with other assistants. The streets were sprinkled with perfumed water and the must of the elephants. It was the highest and greatest delight to see him, their master and ruler, personally present. The palaces, the palace gates, the assembly houses, the platforms, and the temples and such were adorned with golden water pots and flags. When he appeared, one turned it into a festival with reception gates, tapestries, garlands, betel nut, flowers and fruits, banana trees, colorful flags and mirrors. Wherever he passed, the locals, carrying their articles of worship, approached him to receive his blessings and said, O Lord, please maintain this land that you recovered like before in the form of Lord Varaha. The men and women in the city thereafter, desirous to see their king, the Lord with the lotus eyes, returning after such a long time, left their homes to get on the rooftops of the greater mansions, satisfy their hungry eyes, and shower him with flowers. He thereafter entered his family home that by his ancestors had been turned into an unfathomable treasury, filled with the most costly goods. The doorposts were of coral. The pillars lining up on the polished Marakata emerald floors were of Vaidurya stone, and there were dazzling marble walls. All sorts of flowers and flags could be seen, as also draperies, pearls, and the most valuable effulgent gems. With all the desirable beauty that increased everyone's joy, and with the many bunches of flowers, fragrant incense, and lamps, the men and women there, whose physical beauty competed with their jewelry, appeared like demigods. The Supreme Lord Rama, the most excellent one delighting in devotion, to his full satisfaction, personally enjoyed his life there with his dearest wife Sita. With the people meditating on his lotus feet, he for many years enjoyed all the pleasures of life on their proper time without running into trouble with the Dharma.